Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Once again, this is Clear for Takeoff, and our show today will focus on the three readings coming up this weekend and the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time. But before we start, once again, let's go through our checklist, my friends, as we always do. Number one, do you have a heart for God? Check. Do you have quality time set aside for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions and ready to engage in the Word of God? Check. Okay, my friends, if you said yes to the last four questions, then we are ready to go and to engage in the Word of God. Our first reading today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 5 and 17 to 19. And here it is. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you, a prophet to the nations. I appointed you. But do you gird your loins? Stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Jeremiah, my friends, today we acknowledge, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knew us before he formed us in the womb. Before we were born, he dedicated us, a prophet, to the nations he appointed us. On January 22nd, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court said that human offspring are not persons before birth. Once again, this week we acknowledge the great work done by the Advocates for Life in the pro-life movement. My friends, since 1973, more than 63 million abortions have taken place. $1.6 billion has been made in profits by Planned Parenthood. Last year, in 2021, over 900,000 abortions took place. And worldwide, for many years, more than 50 million abortions take place. Our job, my friends, is to speak up for the unborn child, to become active, to be a voice for the unborn, and to put a stop to an end to this thing called abortion, the taking of the life of the unborn child. Again, God knew us before we were born, and he dedicated us to be a prophet to the nations. That's what we have to do, a voice for goodness, a voice for traditional marriage and family life, and God calls us to do it. He says, but do you gird your loins, stand up to them, and tell them all that I command you. God has given us the authority, my friends, to be a strong voice for the unborn child, against abortion, against partial birth abortion, against same-sex marriage, against euthanasia, against immorality, and all kinds of things that take our children down, take our families down. And we've said it before, my friends, but it can't be said too often. There are four things that prevent life that we need to talk about. We need to advocate against. Number one, abortion, taking of the life of the unborn child. Number two, contraception, people being intimate and using contraception just to enjoy the intimacy outside the context of a marriage. Number three, same-sex marriage between two men and two women. When God says a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two would become one flesh. And the fourth thing is divorce. These four things go against the grain. They go against what God calls us to do in the Word of God in the book of Genesis. As he says once again, that man will leave his mother and father and join his wife, not his husband, will join his wife, and the two will become one flesh, and they will be fruitful and multiply. It's a powerful message given to us by our Heavenly Father, and our Lord calls us to live it out. He says the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. It's not something we can choose not to do. The Lord calls us to comply with this order and to become good men. This is important, my friends. And the word goes on to say this, they will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you. So we have to say right now, my friends, take a moment to say congratulations to all of the people who have stood strong for life and family life in the world today, especially as we acknowledge the 49th anniversary last week of Roe v. Wade, the case which legalized abortion here in the United States. And I want to say thank God for those people who stood up strong, because without you, the unborn child would have no chance. But with you, and with God standing with us, all things are possible. And again, the Lord's word says in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, they will fight against you, but they will not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you. So there will be many arguments in court, many battles in Congress, but the Lord is with us, and they will not prevail over us. The Lord will stand strong with us and deliver us. This is important, my friends. And as we go forward this week, let us not forget that the fight for life, human life, within a mother's womb goes on every day of the year. It's not just on January 22nd. The fight for life extends throughout the year to all of us to stand up strong, men, women, and children, educators, lawmakers, U.S. and state congressmen, U.S. and state senators, the President of the United States, and the cabinet who stands with them. We must all stand strong for life and family life. This is our calling, And remember, God says, before he formed us in the womb, he knew us. Let us never forget that God is calling the shots. He is the only producer of life. And we must acknowledge him as being number one in our lives, and we must submit to being number two. Along with that, the producer of life, the great gift of motherhood that God has given to our women, which is so powerful, must be honored and put up on a pedestal, acknowledged as a great gift, the producer of life, maybe the most powerful gift in the world, other than life itself. And we must protect the gift of motherhood and not take it for granted. Not take our children for granted. So we say congratulations and thank you to all of those mothers out there who are doing a phenomenal job of raising their children. All of those mothers out there who are standing by their newborns, their toddlers, their children, packing them up every day to go to school, making their lunches, helping them with their homework, bathing them, feeding them, clothing them, being there at their bedtime to say prayers. Let us never forget, my friends, that mothers and fathers, the parents of our children, are so important to secure the safety of the child. To love the child, to give him all that he needs or she needs to grow up in a safe and warm and loving environment. God calls us to be great parents, to be great mothers and fathers. And when we do it, he calls our children, all of us, to honor your father and your mother. Beautiful message. Let's go to our second reading, my friends, from St. Paul to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 31, and chapter 13, verse 13. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts, but I shall show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially and we prophesy partially, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present I know partially, then I shall know fully, as I am fully known. So faith, hope, and love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of 1 Corinthians today, St. Paul tells us to strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts, focusing on love and the value of love in our lives. Loving other people, because love is an action word. He says, if I do not have love, I am nothing. So he posed a question to you, my friends. How much love do you have in your life? Are you loved by your family, your friends? Do you love others? Do you treat others as you would like to be treated? The golden rule. God calls us in all relationships. He says, love is patient. Are we patient? Love is kind. Are you and I kind to our wives, our children? It is not jealous. Is there jealousy within your relationship? Because love is not jealous. It's not pompous, not inflated or rude. It does not seek its own interest, and it's not quick-tempered. So the focus here, my friends, is on love and the value of love in our relationships within each of our lives is so important. If we have to make changes to line up with what St. Paul tells us, let's do it. Let's you and I do it. Let's take stock of ourselves and our relationships and see what we're missing, how to improve, how to get better, strive to do it the right way, to be patient and kind, to eliminate jealousy, to not be quick-tempered. And you know, my friends, we can all be any one of these at any time because we're human. So we have to strive for change. What is the number one change that you need to make? Think about it. It's going to take humility to admit that you and I need to make changes. You and I need to make changes because God calls us to a different path, a different style. He calls us to succeed in family life, and to do that, we need to be patient with one another, patient and kind to one another. He calls us, my friends, to not be rude or quick-tempered. Is that you or me? If we need to change that, let's do it. Let's start today. Let's not hold back. Let's give 100% towards love, because in the end, God calls it straight. He says, faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love. So we really need to perfect how we love other people. And love is an action word. Are we coming up short in daily life, or are we coming up big time for God? Action speaks louder than words, and God's calling us to love one another. And part of loving one another, once again, St. Paul is very, very specific. He calls us to be patient and kind, and not rude and not jealous, not pompous, not inflated, not quick-tempered. The word goes on to say that love rejoices with the truth. Is there deceit in your relationships? White lies? Or is there the truth? Are we transparent each and every day? Or do we omit things and not tell the truth by omission? God calls us to be completely honest and transparent in a successful relationship as friends or in a marriage. God calls us to be honest, sincere, respectful, accountable, reliable, dependable. All of those go into trust. He calls us to be trustworthy, to share that trust. When you have trust, you have peace. Peace of mind, which is a beautiful thing, to go to bed at night with the person who you love and you trust. For that reason, you have peace of mind. The Word of God talks about when I was a child, I used to talk as a child. Think as a child, reason as a child, but when I became a man, I put away all childish things. Where are you in your manhood, my friends, or your womanhood? Are you still talking as a child, thinking as a child, reasoning as a child? Or are we mature enough to accept the responsibility as men and women, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, and moving forward? Now, God calls us to a childlike faith. No one gets into the heaven, the kingdom of heaven, unless they have the faith of a child. But that's different. He's not asking us to talk as a child or to think as a child, to reason as a child. He wants us to be mature human beings, to acknowledge God in all things, to see the value of God in life itself, in people. When I became a man, I put away all childish things. And we want to move forward with that, which is so important. So if we have room for growth, we need to do it. And I challenge you today, my friends, to take the first step, to put away all childish things and enjoy yourself as a man or as a woman, as a mother or father. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your grandchildren. Let's go on to our gospel reading. And here it is, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. Jesus began speaking in a synagogue, saying, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zephariah in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, my friends, it says that no prophet is accepted in his own native place. In other places, it says that a prophet is least accepted in his own hometown. And that's because there will be division amongst family members and friends. There will be jealousy. And the Lord points that out in the Gospel of Matthew. There will be division, my friends. So as you journey with the Lord and our Father in heaven, as you journey through the Blessed Mother to the Lord's arms, to our Father in heaven, and your faith increases, you too will voice your opinion. You will bring the love of God, the Word of God, to other people. But no prophet is accepted in his own native place, because people know your history. They know where you've been. They know the changes you've made. It takes a lot of humility to allow people to be themselves and to make the change, to watch the change. But that's okay, because that's what happened to Jesus himself. No prophet is accepted in his own native place. So for you and I, my friends, we may experience a lack of acceptance from family members and friends, from associates. But let us not forget that we're in good company with the Lord. So we will continue the great work to get the message of the gospel out to the hearts and minds of everyone we come in contact with. We will continue to stand up strong for the unborn child and for traditional marriage and family life. Stand up strong to gird our loins in support of the morals, values, and ethics, and biblical principles that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not stop, but let us go forward this year. And as we prepare for the month of February coming up and the Lenten season, let us go forth giving 100% for the issues that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ, and let's activate ourselves, my friends, once again, and do all that we can to engage in bringing the love of God into the hearts and minds of other people, and to remember that in the end, faith, hope, and love are the three strongest, but it will be love that endures forever. That's our show for today. May God bless you. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day and God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.